This is part two of my interview with Chuck Oakley, racial sociologist and all around a good guy. Enjoy.
There you are. We were wondering when you'd show up.
Bipolar disorder is one of the most misunderstood and least well recognized of all mental illnesses.
You are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
There is a belief that bipolar disorder is linked to being gifted either in a creative sense or intellectual.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich!
You know, manic depression and bipolar disorder is a very morbid condition.
Pick up the phone and start
these doctors
back.
Here, they will be the first to say this is not something to take lightly.
Yeah, right.
It's about elevating that conversation to a national level and bringing mental illness out of the shadows. We want to let people living with mental health challenges know that they are not alone.
I don't know what to do about oppression, Russian, Ukraine. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
I'm going slightly mad.
Self-destructive man feels completely alienated. Utterly alone.
He's an outsider.
Why am I so difficult to quiet?
He thinks to himself,
I must be insane.
That's the crack.
Man wants chaos.
If nothing else, I want to have created something real.
Sporadic as my thoughts come, it's mind-boggling.
People are looking at me crazy. On Jimmy Kimmel, I said, I'm a creator genius.
Right.
Like, because you ain't supposed to say that.
Were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. How did you cope with that?
You know, at first I was really angry,
but then really happy, then furious, then I really cheered up.
I'm so glad you're cured.
You're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean? What's the cure? Medicine? Make me like them?
Yeah, right. Am I a Martian?
Depression. There's a real demon in the woods, too. A lot of creative people. Go to the craft service table, you get a cup of coffee. Robin Williams is sitting by himself, totally depleted. Ah! It didn't come for free.
Surrender may be our only option.
Bye, 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 bye.
Do it.
No! Never give up.
Change is gonna come.
Never surrender.
On my watch. Yes, it is.
The consensus is I'm bipolar.
A little funny in the head.
What do you mean funny? Funny? How am I funny?
It ain't about how hard you hit.
Just a little.
It's about how hard you can get hit.
Funny.
They keep moving forward. How much can take?
And
they keep moving forward.
Ah!
They keep moving forward. Keep moving forward.
99% of all new income is going to the top 1%. The top 1/10 of 1% owns almost as much as the bottom 90.
Subsides, finally
happens. A little funny in the head.
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there.
Gentlemen. Welcome.
Perfect. And this is a shocker, and you know, but you this program that you have is for education. So I'm going to put it to you, and I have to tell people there are three things that automatically put that flame back up that we were talking about when it comes to black people and racism. There are three things. One, for a white person to call a black person a nigger. Now you will hear black people call each other nigger all day, every day, in front of white people, and like it's their name. Like it's
they'll say it with an A instead of an ER.
Yeah, when I did the research, I tell people this, and that's what the black people say. Oh, we say nigga, and they say nigger. I said, okay, so you mean to tell me that if you see a black person that you don't know and he comes up to you and says, what's up, my nigga, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. So if a white person comes up to you and says, "What's up, my nigga? Is it the same cool?" Oh, hell no. He can't say. I said, but he didn't say nigger. He said nigga. And
right.
I don't care, this, that, and the other. It's the same word. What's the problem? They can't fathom it. That's one. If a white person or a non-black person calls a black person a nigger or nigger, that's one thing that flashes them back 400 years. The second thing.
On that note, I'm going to tell you, and then we'll get to the second thing, but I'm going to interject this. I got hired to write another movie script recently.
Excellent.
This is the first time I've, like, announcing it. But, it's going to be called Status Update, and it's about these kids who are coming out of high school, going into college, and one of them's, like, traditionally cool, who you'd expect to be cool, and the other's, like, a nerd, and the cool guy really wants to stick with his friend, so he basically lets him pretend he beats him up in a fight to be cool, and this whole thing escalates, but there was going to be a character in there that is inspired kind of by my experiences working in the gym, but I wanted there to be this really over-the-top alpha male type of character who's trying to teach the nerd guy, like, how to be a man. And the director was cool with it, so I think I'm going to write it this way. But his name was going to be, like, M-A-N-I-K-A, Manika, right? And
uh-huh.
He's a white guy. And his backstory is that his mom named him Manika, because she wanted him to have to, like, you know, grow up hard. She wanted him to be tough. So, like, he had to grow up in this black neighborhood, like, with that being his name, and it caused him to become this big, strong, tough guy, because, you know, obviously that comes with a lot of baggage. But I thought it was a funny thing, and I thought it'd be interesting to see if, because it's such a delicate thing to do, but if there's a way that we can make white people and black people laugh at, a joke in that arena, I think that that's actually, like, a really powerful thing. If we can both, we identifying with white people, but, like, if those two people can find the same character, like, equally funny, that's my goal, because that's uniting people around this idea. And then maybe people will start looking at it and say, like, you know, it is kind of just a word at this point. You know, maybe if we kind of let the word mean a little less to us, or we stop taking it so seriously, maybe that's a step towards kind of moving on. And like you said, maybe not using it so much anymore, because it does bring you back to a certain mentality. And I actually heard Kanye West say something that I thought was really interesting, because I think Kanye West is a genius still. I think he's crazy. I think he's probably very undiagnosed bipolar. I think he's got all kinds of stuff that he probably doesn't know what it is. But I think he said something really interesting, because he had a song on his last, one of his last albums. It was called I Am a God, right? And
yeah.
when people heard that, they were just like, oh my God. Like, we thought we'd seen him go too far, taking the mic from Beyonce, but now he's literally saying he's a god. Hurry up with my damn massage, hurry up with my damn menage, get my Porsche out the damn garage, is what he's saying. But I saw him in an interview talk about it, right? And I actually thought it was interesting when I heard his perspective. He was saying, like, you know, everything's my nigga this, my nigga that. Like, we're taking us back to that time. He's like, how come I can't say I'm a god? I could say I'm a nigga. No one's got a problem with that. But I can't say I'm God. I'm trying to transcend who I am. So I was like, you know, when I heard that, that's interesting that at least an artist is thinking in that capacity, saying, like, he probably knew it would get a lot of, you know, blowback saying you're a god. But he's got an interesting point. It's like, why is it okay to say you're something that's degrading, that's you don't want to be, obviously, but it's everyone gets mad at you not for saying that about yourself, but for saying that you're better than you are. So I think there's something there that he's like, I don't know if he's intentionally hitting on that or not, but I think there's really something there where it's like,
it is absolutely
why can we say
something
we're
there.
Something bad, but we can't say we're something great. You know, like, again, why is it more controversial?
Again, Nico, and that's why I said for you and your listeners, it's because if black people realized where that came from, they would be on. And you said something that's very interesting. I hate to jump around there, but Kanye is a genius. He's just so fucking crazy that you can't see it because of what he does. I mean, thing about it. If he wasn't so crazy, then that genius would really shine. But he just does such weird shit.
I think he could be just as crazy. He just needs to listen to his podcast. He needs to be more tripolar. He needs to just recognize objectively that you know, put a lid on it sometimes. Like, yeah, you're a genius, but you just don't go around, like, prefacing that when you walk into the room. You don't need trumpets blasting, and, like, you don't need to freak out if people don't say it. You know, go ahead.
You know, and again, like you said,
we'll get him on.
He gets sick because somebody will tell him about this right here, and he, you know, his ego will say, "Let me get in touch with Nico. I got things to say by all means." Yeah, let me get my own name's Kanye. Tune in at 9:30. Dial in this number. We got you.
Right.
But you know,
podcast about me.
But you know, you hit on a very, very good point. And that is what I was saying. You could call yourself a nigger all day long. And I asked, I did research on this too, and I did over five. And next time we're together, next time you see me at the gym, I'm going to give you the survey. It is absolutely mind-blowing. And because of 96% of the black people that I talk to don't even know where that word came from.
Right.
96%.
Why don't you tell us, where did it come from?
Oh, definitely. Nigger is when the first African slave ships came to America, the Portuguese, Latin, and Spanish that were in charge of the slave ships, they were the ones who transported the blacks out of the triangle trade to the Americas. The Portuguese, Latin, and Spanish word for black is niger, N-I-G-I-R.
Right.
Spanish is N-A-G-R-A, Negro, yeah. And Latin is N-E-G-R-E. That is those are the words for black. Well,
right.
When they got to the Americas, or the Americans, or the Pilgrims, or whoever you want to call them, from Jamestown, Virginia, they didn't speak Portuguese, Latin, and Spanish. They spoke America.
Right.
And all they kept hearing them say was niger, negro, negro. Because that's the word for black. Well, the black people that came from the from Africa, most of them came from the Bantu tribe, which was Swahili. They didn't speak Portuguese, Latin, and Spanish. So they were responding to the word, because when they said negro, nigar, negri, they knew that they were talking to them. So they responded to it. So when the black people heard that word, they responded to it. When the white people in the Americas heard that word, they didn't know how to speak. They didn't know how to pronounce negative. They didn't know how to roll the tongue on the Latin word. They just heard negative. And so the derivative they came to was etymology, which the change of words over time came to nigger. And that's what they used, nigger, which was the easiest one they used, which was the Latin one, N-I-G-I-R.
It's just like Latin, a catch-all word for black. Any black person.
Correct. So they called every black person nigger. N-I-G-I-R.
So it wasn't necessarily like meant to degrade. It was more to denotate.
No, it wasn't. That was the word for black. All three of those words had the prefix of N-E and N-I. Every one of them had a G in it. Every one of them had an R in it.
Right. So they just kind of combined it.
And they just that's what they words were. So they were calling them niggers, and that was what they were heard. That's what they heard.
So it's really just because it's a relic from that time that word carries that. Right.
Correct. And people don't understand that they think black people, and two questions in the first survey when you see it, they think that it is something that white people just came up with, or black people. No. That is a derivative of the etymology of the words of the word black in Latin, Spanish, and Portuguese, which those were who were in charge of the slave ships. Those were the people who were doing the transportation. So, if you realize that that's where that word came from, and that it has changed over time to the one of the most derogatory terms that has ever been used in American history, then what you do is you say, okay, we're going to stop calling ourselves that. We are no longer going to use that word. We're no longer going to refer to each other that word. We're no longer going to refer to ourselves that word. Therefore, since we're going to stop doing it, we are not going to accept anybody else using it. Even if you want to use it lovingly, even when you think that you're being hip or you're trying to be black or you're trying to do a rap song, we don't want to use that word anymore because of what it brings. We feel like what we understand where it came from, we're just stopping it. The first thing I'm going to tell you is the Japanese. Do you know what Japanese were called during World War II? Japs. Among others. Yeah, they were called Japs, among other things. Slant-eyed, slopes. Do you know they never referred to themselves as that?
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, you don't hear it. Actually, they don't seem to do much music, but yeah, you never hear a Japanese guy.
You never
what
hear
up,
that
Jap?
Word. You never hear that. They don't refer to themselves.
That's a really interesting point. Well, I think here's another thing that no white people would ever ask or bring up, I feel like, in day-to-day conversation, but I bet a lot of white people are wondering, like, okay, so, you know, and I hear this about Jewish people, too. Like, a complaint is, all right, so bad things happen to, like, pretty much every subculture in America, worldwide. I mean, if you go back far back enough in history, like, bad stuff happened to pretty much everybody. Murder, genocide, rape, like, you name it, it probably happened to most cultures. Why is it that, like, Jewish people and black people seem to bask in it more or focus on it more, or why is it that, like, that's still a thing? Besides, obviously, like, well, we want to remember so things don't happen again, but why is it that, you know, it's, or maybe a better question is, why have all other cultures seem, you know, why don't they talk about it? Or why isn't it a thing for, you know, I can't even really think of people who, you know, whose cultures have been through the same thing. But, you know, like Irish people, I'm sure they went through tons of like crazy shit when they came to this country. Even, you know, back in Ireland with the British, people don't even think about that. They used to, like, kill them, you know, they all were fighting, white people were killing white people, so I don't know, I think it's like, I wonder why, like, most cultures don't seem to really, I don't even know the right word for it, but you know what I'm saying, like, they don't seem to really hold on to the past as much as, I would argue, probably Jewish people, black people, in terms of the movies that keep coming out, the music, the derogatory terms, the museums, the, you know what I mean? It's like there's just a lot of, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, we get it. Like, that happened, you know, I had nothing to do with it. Could we stop, like, being depressed about it? I feel like that's what a lot of people, not even just white people, all kinds of people would think but never say. It's not necessarily my stance, but it's another one of those things is no one would ever say because of, for fear of what the ramifications would be, you know. But do you have any thoughts on that idea?
Yes, and again, you have to be very, very aware that one of the things that you mentioned was your background of traveling all around this country and all around this world and not being fit into that just we with somebody. This is what gives you the upper hand. You're able to come to ask that question the way it is. And the bottom line is, again, Nico, this is an issue. And this is one of the things that I continuously tell people and write about. This is an issue that has been unresolved. When you look at the Jewish people and you look at the black people and you look at two things, it's like we just moved on. One of the things that people, a lot of scientists and a lot of sociologists write about black people that are on the other side of the fence, they're saying, okay, racism and slavery is nothing, is resilience. One of the things they always say is that black people are so resilient that this shouldn't be an issue. Look what they went through, and they came through resilient. They still acting nasty and everything else. The bottom line here, Nico, is that it's unresolved. And that's my whole basis of my whole research. When I tell people the issues, every time something flares up, every time a cop shoots a black kid, every time a white person does something, every time a white person does something to a black person, it is brings back this unresolved issue. In my opinion, and what my writing is,
can we do so here on this podcast once and for all?
Well, one of the things we have to do with is
for all black people, all Jewish people, let's resolve it right now, so the whole world can move on.
Well, it's not that easy, and research,
two parts.
My research and my thing that I have, what I do is just saying that, and I think you and I talked about it, is that my plan is not going to, I'm not going to see it if it succeeds. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. Mm. It's not going to happen in my kids' lifetime. It's not going to happen in my grandkids' lifetime. But maybe my grandkids' lifetime, my grandkids' kids' lifetime, it will begin to happen. You have to understand this. The slavery, this, and I tell people all the time when I did speeches with Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Tamar Rice, and I keep telling black people, and they listen and they understand, but they don't want to do it because it hurts. You have to understand this is a 400-year-old problem. 400-year-old problem. There is nothing that you're going to do that you can just wave a magic wand that's going to make this 400-year-old problem go away. So to answer your question is, we have to start a seed and change the way people think, show the complete history. There's a class that I take that's called multi-generational education. That is basically show the history of everybody that the history books aren't telling you.
Yeah, the history I books agree. I think, are, you know what, Chuck, I think it might happen sooner than you think because of the internet. I think the spread of information, I was talking to my dad about this just a little while ago. This is like when the printing press was invented, you know, and all of a sudden everyone could read the Bible and they didn't have to take the priest's words for, you know, they could decide for themselves. This is the same type of thing. Now all information ever can be digitized and, you know, once the internet spreads, and it hopefully will, across the globe, Elon Musk is trying to do that for free for everyone right now. He's going to go down in history probably as a guy who like made a printing press. If the whole world had the internet and it was uncensored and we immediately all had access to information that wasn't first prepackaged and sorted by our various governments and, you know, powers that be, I think this healing process could happen a lot faster than it traditionally might.
But you know what, Nico,
figure out the truth.
You're absolutely correct. But the problem is, and this is the problem that when your listeners listen to this, that they're going to agree and shake their heads, especially the ones who are not black. The black people have to accept what happened, understand what happened, learn from what happened, and plan their futures what happened. See, the problem with black people, Nico, is they don't want to talk about it no more than white people.
Mm-hmm.
Black people don't want to talk about slavery and oppression and all the travesties that went on. They don't. And one of the things your listeners are going to, again, we're educating them, is black people don't want to talk about that no more than white people. Do you not have the hardest time trying to talk to black people about the history and what that matters? They don't want to hear about it. And what do you think is the reason that they don't want to hear about it, Nico?
It's probably like when someone gets raped and they never talk about it.
Exactly. It hurts. It brings it back. They don't want to talk about it because it brings it back, which runs back to that number two thing that we were talking about that flashes black people back 400 years. The first one was black people calling them a nigger. That brings them back. That's why they get so upset. That's why they black people feel justified in any reaction that they have, and they accept any type of punishment because of it. I've never seen this before in my life where a black person can call another black person a nigger all day long, and it's no problem. But a white person can call a black person a nigger. He will retaliate to even to the point of death. And if he gets in front of the judge, and the judge says, hey, you got life in prison, he's like, fuck it. He called me a nigger.
It's like a, you know, it's weird. It's an unwritten rule.
It
we have freedom of speech. I mean, I'd said it on here, but I don't think anyone's have a problem. But, yeah, I mean, it's the one word probably. Maybe there's
that
more, but I can't think of another word that
Wait a minute. I tell people at my job sometimes, they'll make me mad, and I'll say, look, Spook. Then they'll go, Spook? And I say, yeah, Coon. Coon? I say, yeah, Porch Monkey. Porch Monkey? Right. Chuck, who you talk calling Porch Monkey? I said, so nigger doesn't offend you. No, nigga, that don't offend me, but you calling me a spook. You know, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. The other thing, Nico, is that the and this is something that's really, really interesting. If a white person punches a black person or hits a black person, it's a fight, they know this, that, and whatever. But if a white person slaps a black person,
like a hate crime,
that is so much an insult to them, because one of the number one things that black people that were subject to by white people more than anything else, it wasn't the point that they could kill them, they could shoot them, they could rob them, I mean, they could beat them. But when I slapped you, it was the same thing as me calling a nigger, because I'm just degrading you and I'm slapping you across the face and you can't
like
do anything. One of the movies. Yeah, it's very Sheik Dominic's. There you go.
It's like
a sexual thing,
too. Like when a guy like slaps a girl like during the act of sex, it's like
there's a movie.
Unspoken, like, I own you.
I own you. Now, there's a movie, an old movie, that's called, and your listeners are going to love this the next time they watch it, and they're going to get in touch with you. An old movie with Sidney Poitier back in his heyday called In the Heat of the Night, where he's meeting this judge, and the judge is in his flower pot, the flower garden, and everything else. And he's a detective researching a murder, and he's going to this judge and telling this judge something. And the judge, all of a sudden, they get into this argument, and the judge slaps him. And Sidney Poitier slaps the judge back. The judge's look on his face is like of almost astonishment, like, how dare.
Yeah,
shock, you've hit me, this, that, and the other. But the slap, like you said, there was sexual dominance, there was social dominance, there was racial dominance. And when if a white person in the year 2015 slaps a black person, they're trying to exert that dominance again, and it automatically snaps them back. Here's the number third thing, the number three thing, spitting.
Okay.
A white person can fight or do scream, talk. But if a black person, they can, and which is gross no matter what, they can fight. And I've seen black people spit on it and everything else, and they spit back at each other and everything else. But if a white person spits on a black person, that is the equivalent of calling them a nigger. That is the equivalent of slapping them. And that's putting it all together. And they feel justification because those are the three things that automatically snap them back. And what you hear in one of our conversations, we're talking about mental health, and we'll get to that next one. That will automatically snap them back 400 years. And that brings them back.
You know, I'm reading a book right now for this movie I'm writing called The Dark Side of Man, Tracing the Origins of Male Violence, right? And it's written by this evolutionary biologist, and he's trying to figure out kind of where violence comes from, and studying like all these monkeys, and it's really interesting stuff. But I'm reminded of something that I'm sure he's going to talk on about in this book. But that's the fact that, like, still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello.
Nico,
I heard
can you hear me?
It sounded like a ghost like rolled through or something. Okay, so, yeah, I was reminded of this kind of fact, I guess, that, you know, we evolve, and when we evolve, there's literally changes, physical changes going on within our brains, you know? And I find myself wondering, when there's a slap or spitting or the M-word or whatever it is, we assume it's just society, you know, that kind of societal conditioning. But I wonder if there's a, like, evolutionarily, there's some type of trigger where it's, like, ingrained in you, where if that happens, you just have an automatic, like, you know, anger response, like violent response, where, like you said, you know, I'll go to jail, like, you know, if you do that. So I wonder if it's something that's literally like a physical reflex, because that's what evolutionary does. It's like it'll ingrain things in us that are survival instincts. So maybe as a race or a people or as whatever, if things got that close to, like, you dying out as a culture, as a species, whatever, maybe evolution, like, ingrained something in you where, like, you hear this starting up again, like, fuck shit up, like, it's worth dying over. I wonder, you know, I don't know if there's any way to test that or if I'm on to anything.
I don't know, Nico, because one of the things, like I said, when I talked to my multicultural generational teacher, is I had the nerve after that class to go up to people in different cultures and ask questions. For instance, a lot of the Muslim women or the Eastern women, when I would talk to them, they would be in their traditional garb and everything else. I would actually go up to them and say, after that class, I said, hello. I said, my name is Charles Oakley. They call me Chuck Oakley. I said, I've seen you all semester, but I didn't know if I was able to say hi to you. I didn't know if it was going to offend you. I didn't know.
Right.
Could you tell me anything about your culture? Yeah, I don't know what the rules exactly, Nico. You hit the. I don't know what the rules are. So there are different cultures that have. I'm sure that slapping is probably not
used
the same way as
that. Did like a guy come in like la, 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 take you out?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you allowed to talk to her, or was there like some
ramifications?
Yeah,
she talked to me, and I asked her, and I said, you know, may I ask, you know, what it is that you like to do that people, especially males, don't realize about you and everything else because you're covered. And they said, we are just as self-conscious about our nails, our hair, our eyes, and our makeup and perfume and everything else as any other woman. But because our culture tells us that the man is the dick, there is a movie, and it's a real-life documentary called movie based on a documentary called The Stoning of Sarah M. If your listeners are listening to that, if you really want to know what it's like to be in a different culture as a woman, that movie is heartbreaking. And I won't go into it, but it's called The Stoning of Sarah M. And it actually tells the true story of a woman in a Middle Eastern country, and that's how they live. And it's so heartbreaking because the man, he was able to completely, totally disrespect the woman, beat her, talk to her any kind of way, and his sons were trained to do the women the same way. His sons, that she actually gave birth to them. And he wanted to leave her and marry a younger girl, but her tradition said that's not allowed unless you commit some type of adultery. And if she commits some type of adultery, then she must be stoned to death. This is in the year 2013.
God.
So,
when you're saying that, I was picturing like years ago.
Yes. No. This is still, and at the end of the movie, it tells this still goes on today. But that's their culture.
What's the name of it again?
They don't want any outside. The Stoning of Sarah M. And what makes it so bad? The stoning, like stoning, throwing stones.
Right, right.
Because that's how they killed her. They stoned her to death. They bury her in the sand up to her neck. And here's the killer.
And where was this?
in the Middle Eastern, it was the Middle East. I forget what exact place it was, but it was in the Middle East. And what happened is that she was just basically set up and lied on by her husband because he wanted to marry this girl. She was young.
Right.
Her family had money.
So he had to, like, set her up to get stoned so
he
could run off.
Yeah, he set her up and said that she was cheating on him, right. So everybody knew she was. So she was convicted by the tribe of men of adultery. And the sentence was death by stoning. So they bury her up to her neck, and they stone her to death. Now here's the killer. The first people to throw the stones are all the males in the family.
Right.
So the first person to throw the stone.
Her own family.
Her own family. Those are the first ones who have to throw the stone.
Like, how fucked in the head do you have to be
right.
to believe that's cool? That's what God wants you to do. Like, how fucked in the head do these people have to be?
The thing about it is, her oldest, her dad, he's so weak and old, he can't even get the rock to her. Her husband, who is the one who's behind this and sets it up, he can't throw a rock to save his life. He's like one of those pitchers that you see on the TV. They throw the first pitch, and they're the worst pitch you've ever seen. Carl Lewis and that other guy. Yeah, that's the way. And so the one who lands the first and most horrible blow are her sons.
Yeah.
And then everybody else in the neighborhood picks up rocks and just stones her to death.
Her own sons throwing rocks at her own, that their mother buried in the ground. That's how I think, you know, how to the question of, like, how do we get this healing to hurry up? I think I have this theory that's, I'm sure, very provable and not my theory, that the way we make friends is by having common enemies. And I think a common enemy that anyone can have, that any American can have, regardless of race, regardless of our history, whatever, I think we can all unite in saying shit like that should not be happening in 2015. Now, how do we stop it? I mean, I think it's the elephant in the room is a Muslim elephant. I mean, we are terrified of what Muslims might do if we try to intervene in any way. It's kind of, it reminds me of, you know, how could this happen? People always say that, like, retrospectively, oh, how did they let this happen? Well, look at what we're letting happen right now. I mean, North Korea is a country just filled with brainwashed people who are treated, it's World War II Jews conditions over there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We got all these Muslim countries. People are burying their moms and throwing rocks at them, and it's allowed, and killing them. I mean, this is modern day, like, places with cars and roads and Saudi Arabia and, you know, are like allies. These are places where you can kill people for leaving the religion or for being gay or for any number of things that in America wouldn't, you know, no one would bat an eye. And I think that should be our enemy. I'm not saying we should go jump to arms and fight wars. I'm not saying that's the only solution or a solution, but I'm saying I think we can all unite and maybe have the courage to say, that's wrong, these things that are happening. And you can't just say, it has nothing to do with me, or it's because it's religious, you know, it's off limits. Or I really think that people are going to look back in shame at this period in history and say, how could all these advanced civilizations with all that military might and political influence, how could they just close their eyes to these things and let these people live like it was the Middle Ages and be oppressed? Because make no mistake about it, I mean, I thought even these women wearing those burqas and stuff, I mean, you'd have to talk to them, but they don't have the choice. It's not optional. You know, you don't, when you're a little girl, you don't have a choice if you want to dress any certain way like you do here in America. You have to wear that thing, and you have to follow these rules, and they will literally kill you in a lot of these places if you leave the religion. And not even just like ISIS-dominated places, like places with actual functioning governments that receive U.S. aid. And so it's just really baffling to me that we as a culture, as a society, haven't really had the balls to kind of just at least band together and say, this is fucked up and this is not okay. That's a starting point. You know, I mean, we don't have to go
fight
a war. And you know
what? And you know what, Nico? And that's the thing. That's the thing that the Jewish community, when you said the blacks, and I don't know a lot about the Jewish and the history there, but that's one of the things that the Jewish community, because that same thing that you're saying, hey, this is fucked up. You had Jewish leaders going to the president of the United States saying, hey, you know, that's fucked up what they're doing over there in Germany's prison camps. Do something about it. And their response to the leaders of the Jewish community was, go back and tell them it's not happening. It's just rumors.
Exactly. And it generally doesn't, like, we historically, you know, the powers don't intervene until there's like a necessity to or an opportunistic reason, and then we can tack on, like, well, there's all these humanitarian reasons too, to go into a region or to usurp some dictator or whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, I look at it from a big picture. Like, if we want humanity to survive and progress, and we really believe in freedom and democracy and all these things, like, we need to at least start by having the balls to say, like, this is wrong. And we're not going to just sit back and endorse it tacitly by hiding behind this political correctness and this. Bill Maher talks about this stuff all the time, and he always talks about how he's a liberal, and his liberal friends never have his back on this one. That, you know, they're all about protecting religious freedom of speech, but they're not doing anything to protect, like, actual human values. So I don't know, like, maybe we're getting off topic, but I think that the way to heal, honestly, is to for everyone to kind of band together and saying, okay, we can't help what happened back then, okay? We can't help 400, 600 years ago. That's over. That's done. What we can do is stop complaining about it and worrying about it and talking about it. Like, let's prevent it from happening right now. Let's prevent these things that scarred us so badly from perpetuating in the world today. I mean, I think that's a noble aim, and that's something that everyone could get together. And I bet people who fly Confederate flags would you know, hold hands with the black guy and with the Jewish guy and saying, like, I can get behind that cause. So that's my thought.
Well, my friends, this has been a very, very interesting conversation. My phone is about to die on me, so I got to get ready to get out of here.
Yeah, we're running out of time anyway.
I hope that you will invite me to be on your program again.
Definitely.
And discuss some more topics.
Definitely. Yeah, and this is really good talk. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, Gates Barbecue, show sponsored today. Check them out. The restaurants, their barbecue sauce is fantastic. It's available online too, right?
It is.
Check that out. And, yeah, I think we made a lot of interesting points, a lot of interesting questions were asked, and there's definitely a lot of room to take these type of things further. So we will be having you on again, and thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great night.
You too, my friend.
All right. So that's going to end our episode today. Long one, yes. Worth it? I think so. So hope you enjoyed. We will be back at you soon, and we'll solve some more of the world's problems next time. This has been Tribal. Until the day I get struck by lightning, I am a god. So hurry up with my damn massage in a French-ass restaurant. Hurry up with my damn croissants.